So Psalm 57 kind of drops us into one of the darkest and most disorienting seasons of David's life. This is not a psalm of a king seated on a throne, surrounded by honor and security. No, this is a prayer of a hunted man. Here we find the anointed servant of God forced to live life on the run like a criminal, relentlessly being pursued by King Saul. We have to understand that this season in David's life lasted from 7 to 12 years. Within that time frame, David lived on the run, sleeping lightly, trusting no shadow, never knowing if the next sunrise would actually occur in his life. During this season, there were two specific moments that Scripture records that David found refuge in a cave. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 22. There it's in the cave of Adullam, following his escape from Gath. Later in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David seeks refuge in a cave in Engedi. Now, these were not places of comfort, nor were they a place of safety by human standards. No, these were dark, damp, and dangerous conditions in which he lived. And yet David teaches us a profound spiritual truth in this moment. That spiritual truth is simply, it is better to be in the will of God in a dark, deep, disoriented cave than it is to be outside of God's will, feasting at the table of the king. So the heading of this psalm tells us that this prayer was written during one of those cave-bound nights. In fact, I believe that this psalm covers a span of an entire day, one day time frame of David's life. The reason I feel that way is you see in verse number 4, we find him lying down under the threat. He's surrounded by his enemies. And then in verse number 8, he rises to greet the dawn. His heart is steady, his voice lifted in praise, which tells us that somewhere between sunset and sunrise, God quieted David's soul, granting him the rest that he desperately needed. Ultimately, Psalm 57 shows us how faith responds when danger presses in and the escape seems impossible. Notice that David does not deny the threat, but neither does he surrender to his fear. Instead, he models a God-centered response to one of life's most threatening situations. And so from this psalm, we learn what to do when we need shelter from life's dangers or threatening circumstances. You see that this psalm is going to break out into three movements, if you will, three steps for us to consider when we find ourselves in like circumstances. The first one is to seek God's protection. We see that in verse number 1. Then from verses 2 through 6, we are to declare our trust in God. And then verses 7 through 11, we're to remain steadfast and worship God faithfully. And so let's begin in verse number 1, seeking God's protection. My translation reads like this: Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. David is in the midst of one of life's truly threatening circumstances. Saul was not merely just angry with him. No, he was obsessed with destroying him. And David knew that the king would not relent in his pursuit until he was ultimately captured and eliminated. So every footstep that he heard, every sound that was heard within that cave, every passing hour that he faced ultimately could have led to his death. It is in that desperation that David does not begin a strategy of self-defense. No, he begins with prayer. And like the previous psalm, his first cry is a cry for mercy. And so notice the repeated plea that he has. It says, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. The language is emphatic. It is the language of urgency. It is though David is crying out to God, saying, Lord, I need you right here, right now. I need you. Notice what David does next. It's while he's hiding from Saul in the cave, he recognizes a greater reality. Although he's surrounded by cold stone and darkness, David actually understood that he was being sheltered by something far greater than those stones and that darkness. He was being sheltered under the shadow of the wings of the Lord Most High. This image is tender and powerful. The cave may have concealed him from Saul, but God himself was his true refuge. God himself was his ultimate place of shelter. The wings of the Almighty covered him. And that realization changed everything. And so what begins as a cry for mercy is suddenly transformed into a song of praise. And David teaches us that true refuge is not found in a place. It's not found in a plan. It's not even found in a position. True refuge is found in a person. And so from David, we learn that we are to seek refuge in the Lord, fully trusting him to protect us, fully trusting him to accomplish his specific will and purpose for each and every one of our lives. So we are called to rest in God. We are called and expected to refuse to be consumed by fear or threats that we have no control over. So the psalmist reminds us elsewhere in Psalm 37, verse number 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we do not control our circumstances. We certainly cannot control our enemies, nor do we have control often over the dangers that we face, but God most certainly does. And when we truly take refuge in him, something remarkable happens to us. Our cries for mercy give way to confident trust, which leads us very naturally into this second movement of the psalm. See, once David sought God's protection, he does not remain silent, nor does he remain fearful. Sheltered by God's mercy, he lifts his voice, not in panic, but in confidence. So those that hide in God's refuge learn to speak with a God-centered trust. And so that brings us to the second movement where we're to declare our trust in God, picking up in verse number 2. Says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. And so what we see here is having sought God for his protection, now David's voice lifts up in confidence and in praise. And in these verses, I want you to notice that he declares his trust, and specifically, he declares it in the God Most High. That is significant language for us to understand because that term is rich in meaning. David's confession is that the Lord is exalted over every ruler. He's exalted over every false god. He's exalted over every earthly authority. including Saul himself. And so by invoking this name, David is acknowledging God's sovereign power and supreme rule over all things. And so resting in the peace that comes from divine protection, David bears a bold testimony. His trust is no longer divided. It's no longer tentative. No, his trust is complete. Because he knows that the God who shelters him is also the God who reigns. And because God reigns, David ultimately can rest, trusting in the Lord. And so what David knew about God shaped how David responded to the danger that he found himself in. You could say it like this: his theology stabilized his emotions. He was convinced that God cared for him. He understood that God would not fail him. He knew that ultimately God would fulfill his purpose, not just for him personally, but also for his people. And so the threats were real, but God's faithfulness was far greater than the threats that he faced. And this is a critical lesson for us. When we're threatened, when we're overwhelmed, when we're afraid, we must intentionally recall what we know to be true about our God. And what do we know to be true about our Lord? Well, we know that he is the God Most High, which means we know that he is all-powerful, he is unmatched, he is sovereign over and through all things. Not only that, we know that he will accomplish his purpose. He will accomplish his purpose for our lives. He will accomplish his purpose for his people. Nothing can thwart the will and the purpose of God. We know that God knows every detail of our lives. He sees our pain. He hears our cries. Last time we talked about how he collects our tears. He is fully aware of all that we are feeling and all that we are experiencing. And so what we believe about God will determine how we respond when life begins to press in on us. See, right belief produces settled trust. And ultimately, like David, our deepest concern must be not in self-preservation, but in God receiving the glory that is due unto him. That ought to be our greatest concern in life, is for the glory of God to be displayed in and through all things, in and through all circumstances, in and through all seasons of our lives. Consider the Apostle Paul. While awaiting his execution in Rome, he writes these words in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." The greatest concern of the apostle was for God to be glorified. More concerned about the glory of God was Paul than he was about his own personal life and safety. And so when David declares his trust in God Most High, something very decisive happens. Fear no longer dominates his heart. Anxiety no longer controls his voice. His confidence in God's sovereignty produces a calmness and a stillness within his soul. And that calm does not end in silence. You see, when right belief settles the heart, it inevitably stirs the tongue. When trust takes root, then worship ought to follow. And so David does not merely believe that God reigns, he responds to that belief with praise. His confidence in God moves him from testimony to doxology. It moves him from quiet rest to joyful proclamation. You see, trust in God always leads us to worshiping God. And that brings us to the final movement of this psalm. And that is to be steadfast and to worship God fully. You see, when the heart is fixed on who God is, then the mouth cannot and will not remain silent. Look at verse 7. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. See, as David takes hold of God's power and faithfulness, a noticeable transformation occurs in his life. The weight that once pressed so heavily upon his spirit is now lifted. Confidence replaces fear. Rest replaces anxiety. And out of that settled heart, worship naturally flows from his mouth. David joyfully proclaims his confidence in God, and then he repeats it. He says, my heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. That repetition is intentional. It underscores his resolve. This is not some fleeting emotional high that he's experiencing. No, it is a settled commitment to trust the Lord no matter the circumstance in which he found himself in. I want you to notice the shift. David is still in a cave. Saul is still king. He's still alive. He's still in pursuit. The danger has not disappeared, but fear no longer governs David's heart. Instead, he commits himself to worship faithfully, to singing, to praising, to making music to God. Worship becomes his weapon. Praise becomes his declaration of trust. In the midst of pressing trouble, David determined that God will be glorified. And so he fixes his eyes not on the size or the strength of his enemy. He fixes his eye upon the greatness of his God. There he looks at God's unfailing love. There he beholds the faithfulness of God. And in verses 9 and 10, David's worship expands beyond personal devotion. He declares that he will sing God's praises among the people. He will sing them among the nations. And so his worship is no longer confined to Israel or to the sanctuary. So what began as a personal expression of worship ultimately leads to his desire of wanting the whole world to know about God's love and faithfulness. What began as a private cry in the cave becomes a global testimony of praise. And that raises an important and searching question for each and every one of us to consider. And that is, how do you respond when life becomes challenging and fear begins to surface? You see, dangerous and difficult circumstances provide for us a unique and powerful opportunity to worship God and allow his glory to be displayed through our hardship. In moments like this, we must resist the natural tendency for us to doubt, to grumble, or to complain. Instead, we are called to remain steadfast in faith and to praise God at all times. So when trouble surrounds us, or even danger begins to threaten us, our lives should display a quiet, bold confidence in our Lord. No matter what difficulties we might face, we are called to take refuge in God. We are called from the shelter of His wings to cry out unto Him for His mercy. You see, God is a Savior who delights in rescuing His people, not only from sin, but also from suffering and from sorrow. In our time of trouble or in that hour of need, we are to lift our voices and to pray that God would be exalted above the heavens, and He will display His sovereignty. He will ultimately cause all things to work together for His good, for His glory, for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so therefore, may our hearts, like David, be awakened. May we as well be steadfast. And so may we be ready to rise in praise even in the darkest of caves. Psalm 57 reminds us that faith does not wait for danger to pass before it worships. David did not praise God after he escaped the cave. No, he praised God from within that cave. He teaches us that when fear presses in, when the night feels so long, God remains our refuge. God reigns as Most High, and God is truly worthy of our worship. This morning, we have already shared in communion, and in the taking and participating of that moment, we have already remembered how Jesus has already entered into the darkest of caves that anyone could possibly imagine. Our Lord bared our sin and our suffering so that we could be made right with God. And His sacrifice assures us that nothing can separate us from the love of our Father. His love reminds us that God is with us even in the darkest of caves. And this morning you might find yourself in a cave. I don't know what that cave is. I don't know what your cave looks like. It might be a cave of uncertainty. It could be a cave of opposition, a cave of betrayal, a cave of being heartbroken and grieved, a cave of persecution. I don't know. But if you find yourself in the cave, then what we learn from Psalm 57 is that we ought to run to the Lord, seek His mercy, declare our confidence in His love and His faithfulness. Fix our heart upon our God, not upon the enemy. Look to His word to find encouragement in this season of life. And then ultimately, we are to let our lives proclaim His praise and His glory. Because the God who shelters His people is the God who rules and reigns over everything and everyone. If you find yourself in the night and in that cave, you cry out unto the Lord for mercy, trusting into Him, remaining steadfast in your praise and worship, oh, like David, may you be awakened. Awakened to worship, not to fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You have preserved Your word for us, that we can find the hope and the truth that we need to have a firm foundation built on in our lives, that we can be confident no matter what season or circumstance we find ourselves in. We thank You that Your word reminds us of Your sovereign rule and reign over all things. You are God Most High. Nothing and no one is greater than you. You have a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of us. Now, your love endures. Your faithfulness does not pass away. God, help us to put our trust, our confidence in you. May we stop being consumed by the fear of our circumstance and start lifting our voices in praise for who you are, what you've done, and what you promised to accomplish in each and every circumstance of our lives. May we seek for you to be glorified, for your love and your faithfulness to be on display. God, help us to trust in you more than ourselves. Help us to turn over all of our fear, all of our anxiety into your loving hands. And at this moment, Father, of a time of response to your word, may we make decisions that honor and glorify you. Whether it's sins to confess or commitments to make, God, I pray that your spirit would move among your people, guiding and directing us in the appropriate way for us to respond. We commit this time unto you. May you be honored and glorified by what you see from us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.